Welcome, everybody, to Morning Invest. I'm Clayton Morris. This is the show that teaches you how to invest in yourself so you can become financially free. We also talk about the smells of spring, by the way. It's a little inside joke. If you're watching the replay, that's why you got to join us at 9 a.m. Eastern time, because we have our pre-show before we even start this show. And you have to subscribe. You know, turn on that little bell notification so you'll be notified when we are live, 9 a.m. Eastern time every morning. Coming up on today's show, Biden launches a new tax on corporations. But it's softer than we thought it would be. But in some ways, it's harder. It's kind of in between. We'll figure out who's for it, who's against it. It's kind of funny to see some corporations saying, we support it, and others saying, no way, this is misguided. So we'll go through it. Bernie Sanders says more stimulus is on the way, specifically for small businesses. He says we're going to go bigger in this next stimulus package that is set to be announced in a few weeks. So we'll see what the senator can do and what progressives can push for. Also, signs this morning pointing to an overheated stock market. So we will look at the very latest on some of the craziness on Wall Street. And today is a very important day for Bitcoin. We're going to go through and show you the charts on this because remember, all things are tied to Bitcoin when it comes to cryptocurrency. And it's sort of sitting on this knife's edge right now. I was talking to a friend of mine, one of my mentors in the crypto space last night about this, and it could really go one of two ways. So we're going to look at these charts today, and it's going to really affect these altcoins that you might be buying as well. They're all tied to what's going to happen today, so we'll see that. I'll show you an altcoin that I bought last night. Maybe you can take advantage of it if you like. It's already up this morning. So you don't want to miss that. That'll be at the end of today's show. So, Morning Invest starts right now. And if you want to be more informed and learn something new every morning, you should join our daily newsletter, which is sent by email right to your inbox every morning right there. Just go to morninginvest.com and enter your email address. You should receive it around 6 to 7 a.m. in the morning. It's the best part is it's totally free. We cover some of the big investing news of the day, business news, environmental news, progressive issues that I think are important, just to be added to our list. And it supports our show. It keeps us doing what we are doing here. Plus, you get an awesome newsletter that you can read over your cup of coffee first thing in the morning. Just go to morninginvest.com and sign up now. All right, I want to talk about your stimulus update. This is a Biden administration push on this jobs plan. Now, they've been out there trying to sell this thing. The Biden administration revealed that plan, of course, about a week and a half ago on infrastructure. Republicans, though, said we're not biting on this thing, especially if you're planning on hiking taxes on corporations to pay for this $2.3 trillion proposal. A lot of people thought it would even be bigger than that, $4 trillion. You know, others, Joe Manchin has said he'd support up to $4 trillion. But of course, the corporate tax is all what we're focused on. And yesterday, President Biden came out to tell us how he's going to raise taxes on businesses. He's going to pay for it, pay for nation's roads, transit ports, and so much more. Here's President Biden. And it was at the end of his press conference when he suggested, sort of opened up this idea that, you know what, I would actually be open to working with Republicans on this. And I might consider going lower, but we have to pay for it. We have to pay for it.
Together, that we won America's future. I really believe that. Thank you all. May God bless you and may God protect our troops. Thank you.
Mr. President, are you willing to go lower than the 28% corporate tax rate?
I'm willing to listen to that. I'm wide open to, but we got to pay for this. We got to pay. There's many other ways we can do it. But I'm willing to negotiate that. I've come forward the best, most rational way, in my view, the fairest way to pay for it. But there are many other ways as well, and I'm open.
Will you have failed on your promise of bipartisanship if you don't get Republicans on board with this plan, your first plan passed along party lines?
Look, what I said was I would try to work with my friends on the other side. There are things we're working on together. Some of which we pass and some we will pass. But the last plan, I laid out what was available, what I was suggesting, and how I'd deal with it. And a bipartisan group came to see me. And then the Republican group came to see me. And they started off at $600 billion. And that was it. If they come forward with a plan that did the bulk of it, it was a billion three or four, two or three, that allowed me to have pieces of all that was in there, I would have been prepared to compromise. But they didn't. They didn't move an inch. Not an inch. But for example, I am dealing with a bipartisan group that came to see me. Now it's about, what, 3-4 weeks ago when they came about computer chips and about, and they said, look, we have to have our own supply. We have to work together. We're working on that. Chuck Schumer and I think McConnell are about to introduce a bill along those lines. So I'm prepared to work. I really am. But to automatically say that the only thing that's infrastructure is a highway, a bridge, or whatever, that's just not rational. It really isn't. I think the vast majority of Americans think everything from the sewer pipes to the sewer facilities to the water pipes, I think they're infrastructure. Anyway, thank you all so very much.
He said the corporate tax rate, though, would increase to 28% from its current 21%. So would he drop it down to 25%? But here's the real story on this. Almost no corporations will be affected by this next bit of news, which is that profitable companies earning $2 billion or more would face a 15% minimum tax on the income they report to investors. So it's a rule targeting serial tax avoiders. But let me be clear, as Biden says, let me be clear, that only affects like 47 companies in the United States. So I don't know if you saw, but yesterday Jeff Bezos and Amazon came out and said, you know, we support this tax increase. Why do you think that is? Anybody want to take a guess in the chat as to why that is? The reason is because they're not going to feel it at all. So it sounds great from a PR perspective for them to come out and say, I support higher taxes, as Jeff Bezos, as Amazon, we're taking a PR hit for people peeing in bottles right now. But the truth of the matter is, it's not going to really affect them. They're going to still end up paying basically zero in taxes. So 47 companies would get hit with this 15% tax, a minimum tax on income they report to investors.
Well, and that's why it's really important that, you know, people like you can translate this stuff, because this is the whole point of watch what they do, listen what they say. Because if you listen to what they say, this all sounds like, oh my gosh, this is great. This is going to make them pay their fair share. But if you don't know the inner workings and the details to know and have somebody like you that can translate it, they're getting off. They're no worse than they were before.
Exactly. They can come out and it sounds great. They're like, oh, Amazon, you're really supporting this thing. You guys, you know, okay, Amazon's really turning a corner here, right? They're going to help America. But their foreign earnings basically would double. So the tax rate on companies' foreign earnings would double from 10.5 up to 21%. And this isn't like a prefix menu, you know? So Biden said he was open to compromise on how to pay for this plan, but insisted he would not be open to doing nothing on infrastructure. And I thought this was an interesting part of his speech yesterday. He said this: I am sick and tired of ordinary American people being fleeced. And he said, look, we're not going to stand here and watch this, you know, the wealthiest Americans continue to receive these tax cuts. And of course, trying to roll back these Trump era tax cuts. Okay. Well, we'll see. I mean, how are you going to work with Republicans on this if they really don't plan to want to increase corporate taxes at all? I guess what I would say to Republicans is, let's be honest. Let's just be honest here for a second, right? You and I know that raising the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28% is not going to do a darn thing, because all of these companies are going to continue to pay virtually nothing in taxes. Why? Because they have offshored their headquarters, they have money in the Cayman Islands, they do all of these things through tax loopholes to make sure that they're not paying these taxes. So you can put it on paper all you want. It doesn't matter. These companies have really smart legal teams and accounting teams to make sure that they don't pay taxes. So this case for a tax hike, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen portrayed it as a net positive for corporations, you know, basically saying you pay more in taxes and we'll give you more support. Such as, we'll give you quality transportation networks, high-speed broadband to help your business, all of this to help your business grow. Because I saw after, in the wake of this last week or week and a half, I don't know if you saw this too, David, which was like all these people, you know, the Republicans were like, you know, this is going to harm Republicans. This is not going to help businesses. It's like, I don't know if you know, but businesses use roads that we're going to fix. Businesses use bridges that we're going to fix. Businesses use lead pipes for drinking water for their employees. Businesses use internet access. Are they in a bubble? They don't use any of this stuff? Do you do your business on a hot air balloon so you don't need any of this infrastructure? I don't get it. She said, Janet Yellen said the government's investments in infrastructure will add 1.6% to the U.S. GDP by the year 2024. But of course, not everyone loves this. Not everyone loves tax hikes.
Well, and
this is the part where I complain.
I just want to say one thing. So you can always tell if a bill benefits the people or benefits corporations, because let's say that they're saying that this is going to benefit us because they're going to tax the wealthy. But all you have to do is watch the mainstream media. And if they're on board with it, you can guarantee that it benefits corporations. If they're against it, if they're getting their all these panels on talking about how dangerous this is for the American people and it's just going to cost the American people, I guarantee you it's because it's going to hurt the corporations, not the people.
Exactly. And right now, it's interesting to see if you got like 25-year-old producers at CNN and other places, like I don't think they understand how this all operates. Like, I don't think that they understand that the corporations that they work for, basically, you know, they don't pay anything in taxes. They get to use all of these loopholes. And if they can come out and look like they're populist and they're supporting Americans, they will, if they know at the end of the day, they're not going to be on the, they don't have to carry the bill for it. Right. If they know they don't have to pay for it, they can come out as a populist television network and pretend that they care about people. Right. Well, one person who doesn't care, doesn't pretend to care about people and continues to crap on the people of West Virginia is West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, moderate Democrat who has a lot of power in the Senate, says that he doesn't support raising the corporate tax rate above 25%. Of course, this is the same guy who said he didn't support increasing the minimum wage beyond $11 an hour. Good old Joe Manchin. So, folks, it's going to come down to these moderate Democrats once again. We know, and you know, President Biden can talk about bipartisanship all he wants on this new round of stimulus. But at the end of the day, Republicans are not willing to budge on this corporate tax rate. So then who is going to pay for it? And as Biden said, I'm sick and tired of ordinary people being fleeced. So he can say that, and he wants these corporate tax hikes. We'll see if he gets it. Because how ordinary people get fleeced in this is they end up paying some sort of a gas tax, or, hey, we won't charge businesses for this. We'll have you pay, you know, we'll make sure that you're paying consumption taxes or other things. The price of goods. By the way, everyone is being fleeced already because the cost of things is already going up. And businesses are passing all of that hiked prices on to you anyway.
Well, you know what this
disproves? A number of other groups.
It just proves that R&D mean absolutely nothing.
How do you mean? Like, I mean that Republican, we think they're going to spend this money on research and development?
No, I mean Republican and Democrat. It doesn't, like, that next to their name doesn't mean anything. Because Manchin, I mean, he might as well switch to Republican because that's basically what he is. It's just like that those words are meaningless because they don't, you know, it's like they're always fighting each other. It comes down to the donors, and that's who they all work for. Doesn't matter if they have an R or a D in front of their name or after.
Yeah, who's donating to these campaigns? I mean, it's a direct line, right? Who's paying for Joe Manchin to run for the Senate in West Virginia? I saw someone email or in the chat early this morning before the show started. Someone said, you know, I'm getting the sense that maybe the push to try to get Manchin not reelected is kind of dwindling. And I would say no. I mean, the question is, we don't even know if he's going to run again. And there's signs that he might not run for the Senate again. But there's a number of progressives who are aiming for that seat. L.L. Balmer says Manchin is a Dementor from the Harry Potter world. Yes. And last night, my son and wife watched the Goblet of Fire movie, I think, last night. So we were talking Dementors last night. But there was a whole group of other groups that came in. It's not just Joe Manchin, of course, but it's all these business trade groups, you know, that pretend that they have the best interest of Americans at heart. And they're objecting to the increase. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce came out and said the proposal is dangerously misguided. The National Association of Manufacturers says higher taxes will turn back the clock to the archaic tax policies that gave other countries an advantage over America. And the Business Roundtable said the plan would create new barriers to job creation and job growth or economic growth. But hey, some executives do support this plan. Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, he endorsed it. And he said, hey, a corporate tax hike on Tuesday is fine with me. He said, this investment will require concessions from all sides, Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos. Just, I want to say that again. Jeff Bezos comes out and says, this investment will require concessions from all sides. This is the same Jeff Bezos who made an additional $640 billion this year. He's now he's the world's richest man. And he is fighting tooth and nail to make sure that people can't unionize at his Amazon centers and where his workers are forced to go to the bathroom in Snapple bottles. But he supports it because he knows he's not going to pay anything. He wasn't paying anything when the corporate tax rate was 35%. So who cares? It dropped to 21%. Who cares? It goes to 28%. Who cares? It doesn't matter. But. This is a big but. All of this could be moot. This but could be moot if Janet Yellen gets her minimum global tax. So you'll recall just a few days ago, Janet Yellen came out, and if you don't recall it, I'll play it now for you, where she wants a minimum international corporate tax so that these bozos can't park their money off in Ireland or the, you know, Cayman Islands.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has called for a global minimum tax rate, the goal getting other countries on board in order to prevent offshoring. This is a tax rate for corporations. Let's listen.
Competitiveness is about more than how U.S. headquartered companies fare against other companies in global merger and acquisition bids. It's about making sure that governments have stable tax systems that raise sufficient revenue to invest in essential public goods and respond to crises.
So this morning, surprisingly, momentum is now building for this, for a global minimum corporate tax rate, which would basically eliminate companies' headquarters hopping all around the world to find the most favorable tax location. Finance ministers around the world said that they could elbow bump on this plan because, you know, we're not shaking hands right now, as early as July. So finance ministers around the world saying, hey, you know what? We might be into this. Yeah. All right. We could put this together by July. So that means think about how earth shattering that would be. I'm trying to find another way to say this, but look, Apple has a headquarters in Ireland, Google. How many companies have headquarters in Virgin Islands, Ireland, because they pay nothing in taxes and corporate taxes? Imagine setting a global minimum that would force those companies to say, hey, we can't do it here anymore. We're going to come back home. We can't hop around anymore. Because can you do that? Like if you run a small plumbing company, right, you get screwed. While these big companies like Amazon don't. Because they have all of this infrastructure where they can set up and create a new headquarters in Ireland if they want to. So bringing this money back home is exactly what Janet Yellen is talking about. So again, you know, of course you saw CNBC coming out and they're like, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't think this is going to work at all. Do you think the Virgin Islands is going to go for it? Let me tell you, the Virgin Islands doesn't have much say in it. But when you have all of these big world leaders coming together saying we're doing it, they're going to have to get on board with it. Now, here's how CNBC played it, though. I love this response.
So this is President Biden's administration looks to raise corporate taxes back to roughly what they were before President Trump lowered them, saying the move won't harm the economy. Joining us now to discuss this is American Enterprise Institute's James Pethakoukas and PIMCO's head of public policy, Libby Cantrell. Libby, I thought that the corporate tax rate was 35% before the lowering in the Trump tax reform of 2017-18, not the number that to which President Biden wants to take it back. He wants to go back to 28%. Am I right remembering that?
Yeah, that's right. Now that's the statutory rate, the legal rate. I think effectively many corporations were paying a lower rate than that. But yes, Tyler, that's exactly right. That was the rate on the books, and President Biden is now advocating to take that rate from the statutory 21% to 28%.
So splitting the difference basically between what it was and what it is today. And as you point out, very few companies pay that top marginal rate at all. Many, many, many don't. So let me ask you, Jimmy, what incentive would there be for...
As you point out, no one's paying these taxes anyway. So Republicans can pretend to be all indignant about it. We're never going to support, and Joe Manchin, we're never going to support raising this tax. So is Biden like being weak-kneed here by even trying to placate these Republicans? Like, why are you even doing this? If they're not going to pay these taxes anyway, why are you placating to Republicans? Makes no sense to me.
A country like Ireland or a tax haven like the Bahamas or Bermuda or any of a lot of other places, what incentive would there be for them to agree to a uniform corporate minimum tax when they have it pretty good if their tax rates are lower than ours and attract American businesses?
Very little reason. They'd be giving up a potential competitive advantage. You have these small open economies that have really relied on a very competitive tax rate to attract business. I think this is going to be an extremely difficult thing for the Biden administration to do. And I don't really quite get it. I mean, I sort of understand why they want to do it.
I don't get it. I sort of understand why. I don't get it. I don't get it. Let me explain it to you, James Pethakoukas. All of these companies are not paying their fair share of taxes in the United States. They offshore their money with headquarters in small island countries. And they're able to skirt these laws. And then guess what? The American people get fleeced. The American people don't end up paying more. The W-2 employees that work for people end up paying a higher tax rate than these businesses. So hopefully that makes sense to you, James.
Can I just congratulate CNBC on the, you know, going for the younger demographic by having Power Lunch and Street Cred as this person has Street Cred. They're a Wall Street, you know, whatever. That's
street
kind of funny
cred.
To me.
Yeah, this is the younger audience.
They're gonna pay for some of this stuff. They don't want to be forced. They have a super low tax rate.
Street Cred.
It's Power Lunch.
Street cred. Well, they got to attract this younger audience because, you know, people are turning off corporate media. And this is exactly why. Because they're lying to people. You know, when you watch like corporate media like this, I mean, they're lying to you. Like if CNBC were honest and they would tell you, hey, we're run by a multi-billion-dollar corporation, so you know where our interests lie.
Well, and that's my litmus test. If I see the media on a media storm to get something passed, I know that it's bad. If they're on a media storm to get something not to pass, I know that it's good for the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there were segment after segment after segment on the business channels over the past 24 hours about how this is, you know, this is going to just be bad. Like, I don't know how they're going to pull this off. You know, I don't understand it. I'm just confused. Why would they want to be taxing businesses? Imagine that. Why would they want to be taxing businesses? And here's what, you know, President Biden says. I'm sick and tired of ordinary people being fleeced. Okay, so is he a popular? Will he stand with the American people on this issue? Or is this just going to be lip service? You know? Is this going to be lip service? Or will he really stand with the American people on this? Well, we've seen him move right now to at least getting out in front on, you know, on this union issue, which is good. But we'll see how far they're willing to go. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders, speaking yesterday at a roundtable of small businesses, says that we need more stimulus. And he said more help is on the way. Here's Bernie Sanders talking to a group of business leaders yesterday. And, you know, he said, we're going to go big. We're going to go big on this next tranche of stimulus. So not just the infrastructure piece, but also the additional sort of human piece of this, which comes out in the next few weeks.
What work you and your colleagues are doing. But before I introduce our experts, let me just say this. I think the American Rescue Plan was a major step forward in addressing the current emergencies brought to us as a result of the pandemic, hunger, many families facing hunger, lack of healthcare, eviction, et cetera. But if I have anything to say about it, we're gonna go further. As all of you know, there's a hot debate taking place right now in Washington about what is called a second reconciliation program, which will deal with some of the structural problems, not just emergency problems facing the country. And I want you all to know that, in my view at least, that program is not just roads and bridges and water systems, but it goes into, you know, what Vicky was talking about, human infrastructure. And that means expanding healthcare in a very significant way. Expanding educational opportunities from child care, by the way, to graduate school. It means making sure that we have the housing. I think Mateo was talking about housing. We're talking about building millions of units of affordable housing and low-income housing, because when you talk about infrastructure, I think you've got to be talking about housing as well. It means lowering the cost of prescription drugs, so when people get sick, they can actually afford the medicine that they desperately need. So that is going to be a very hot debate. The American Rescue Plan was passed at 5 o'clock in the morning by a 51-50 vote after 15 hours of debate. One of the more painful days of my life, but that's the way it is. We may go through that again, but I want you all to know that for many of us, we do not see by any means the job. Our job at the Congress is over. We have an enormous amount of work to do in order to protect small businesses, workers, healthcare, education, childcare, and we intend to do it.
So Bernie said we're going to go bigger on this second reconciliation package, and of course now they have the wherewithal from the Senate parliamentarian who gave them the green light to say, yes, you can do another second reconciliation package if you like. Go ahead. But Senator Joe Manchin said he's not going to blow up the filibuster. So, okay, if you're not going to blow up the filibuster, then you're going to have to push this reconciliation package. So we'll see where Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona come down on this whole thing. We'll be focusing on that. Meanwhile, I think unionizing is going to be an important part of this, the growing push across the country to unionize. And so I want to take you down to Alabama now, where we're still waiting on this response from this vote. They want to make sure that it's right. They don't want any people saying that this was a rigged election in this Amazon warehouse in Alabama. But, you know, I've gotten, by the way, I've seen your emails. You've been sending me emails. Some of you said, hey, look, I can't name where I work. I can't tell you where I work. Just you have to know that our company has gone to great lengths to make sure that we don't unionize. And I think this could all change. I mean, this Amazon move could change a lot. And so we'll see how strong President Biden wants to support this. But I want to take you to a story now, this American Prospect story. And I think Nathan Newman did some great reporting on this. I've invited him to come here on the show to talk more about it when he's free. But what he says is workers really get canceled before they ever get the job. Pre-hiring. What he says is that basically pre-hiring screening is what really does it. And if you're not familiar with this process, I mean, they use like artificial intelligence. They're using all sorts of pre-screening things. They use like video interview structures to make sure that the people that are being hired will not want to eventually support unionizing? He says this is really how people end up getting, you know, how they manage to make sure that they're not interested in unionizing even before they get a job. They're screened out. I mean, they're getting canceled before they're even hired. And they make sure that they're not getting hired. They're not hiring people that are pro-union. Let me just read a little bit from this. Let's see here. Adding this to the creepiness factor is the rising use of video interviews analyzed by artificial intelligence software to sort candidates by facial expressions, tone of voice, language speed, and other factors, sending those who pass tests for final review by actual human beings. COVID has only accelerated use of these technologies as recruiting gets done increasingly over screens. So you're not even being interviewed by a human.
You know, we see on these social media platforms how right they get those algorithms with content.
Oh, yeah. Right. So these are people, you know, you got to think about it. These and governments, there's been governments who've launched multiple lawsuits over these pre-hire screening things. Because they're saying it serves as a means of discrimination against those who have mental illness and others and other things based on like CVS Pharmacy. Here's what CVS Pharmacy was doing. And they're questioning, asking questions like this in their pre-screening, whether applicants change from happy to sad without any reason, and whether your moods are steady from day to day. Hey, David, I'm going to ask you, just a computer program, are your moods steady from day to day?
Why, yes.
Do you go from happy to sad without any reason at all?
Depends on what movie I'm watching.
I'm looking at you with my computer program to see if you're likely to be disgruntled or
well, and what if unionize. You what if you happen to be one of those people that unfortunately has resting sad face?
Right. I have resting sad face.
I would call that more resting gump.
Would
face.
I get hired? Resting gump. And others have noted the ways that AI-driven video interviews may unfairly screen out candidates with disabilities, especially those on the autism spectrum. Testing may not necessarily intend to screen out those with mental illness, but employers do want to root out, quote, disgruntled employees, which testing companies repeatedly highlight as a prime target for elimination by their personality tests. So what does that mean to be disgruntled? As business marketing professor and consultant Neil Kokemuller has written, disgruntled workers potentially persuade others that the company is unfair or not a good place to work. And pre-employment screening tools help companies avoid hiring employees that could become negative influences on the workplace.
You mean people that would actually call them out if they did things wrong? What do they want just a bunch of evangelists working for them? Like you can't change your mood. You need to be happy all the time here. And you better not say anything negative about the company. I don't care what happens. If you have to pee in a bottle, you better not say anything. We want people that are just going to smile, pee in a bottle, and have a happy day every day.
Yeah. Don't fall out of line. You better be in line, David, if you're going to work here. One advertisement for a pre-hiring test aimed at nurses and other professional employees promised it could weed out, quote, undesirable behaviors, such as focusing on payment, benefits that you'd receive at the job, and your status. So let me be clear. We want to weed out people who want to earn money, receive benefits, and want to climb the corporate ladder, build status as they go, right? Start at the bottom. Become a CEO eventually. We want to weed those people out. That's what the software does. In favor of desirable behaviors, such as focusing on enjoyment of the job. That's all we want. We just want you to focus on the enjoyment of the job. Never mind that you're getting screwed over. Never mind that you're putting in long hours and not being rewarded for it. And never mind that we're being asked to go to the bathroom in bottles. Don't rock the boat. Oh, this is amazing. So this is what's going on when we look at these screening tools.
What?
I mean, make no mistake, the article says, rooting out dissent is the primary goal of these hiring algorithms. Have any of you, I'm curious, in our live stream, has anyone ever taken one of these tests or been hired by a computer? Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, what was the Chris Pratt's name in the Lego movie? Because that's basically, they just want to hire that guy.
Right, everything that's awesome?
Yeah.
I forget his name. If anyone knows, someone said I was creeping them out in the chat room. Yeah.
With sad face.
I'm your hiring software. I'm looking to see, are you dissatisfied with your employment? Do you want to earn a salary when you work here? I'm looking at you. It's like Larry David in Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah, these algorithms. That's exactly right. This is exactly right. Make no mistake, rooting out dissent is the primary goal of these hiring algorithms. And you have a government that will stand up and make sure that this kind of thing is not creating, you know, discrimination in the workplace, and making sure that people will not, like, these are people that will not want to unionize.
Do you think it's possible that we could, as people, could get the exact same system for politicians where they have to go through that and we can make sure they're not going to be disgruntled and work for corporations, that they work for the people? Can we start weeding them out algorithmically?
Yeah, we can.
Let's do it.
I'm looking at you, Joe. Will you support the people of West Virginia? Or will you just be in the pocket of big corporations? What will you answer? How will you answer? But they lie to us. They're such good liars, so it's very hard. That's why we need a computer to weed them out. We believe them, you know? When Joe's running for re-election, we're like, really, Joe? You support the people of West Virginia? Really? We believe you. How much money did you make from oil and gas companies? I want to tell you about Bitcoin. I want to tell you about some altcoins that I'm buying. We're going to get to what's going on with the market right now, but I want to tell you about our friends over at Birch Gold first, because look, all this talk of inflation, a lot of investors right now are looking to gold. And what's cool about Birch Gold, they're actually giving away a safe. This is pretty cool. So yes, when you go to morninginvest.com/gold, you can get a free gold kit just for going over there, so you can learn more about investing in gold. Okay. So morninginvest.com/gold, but this is where I buy gold, okay, and silver and other coins. But you need a place to store it. So for qualifying people who buy gold through Birch Gold, opportunity to get a free safe. That's right. So a place to store your gold coins. And this is incredibly important. You got to have a place to put them, right? So we're talking about not buying paper gold, buying real gold, which all of these governments are. I mean, China's hoarding gold, and that's why these investors are moving towards it. So go, if you're interested, this is the best place to do it. Go over to morninginvest.com/gold to get your free gold kit and learn how you can get that safe. I think they actually show it there right on the front page, so you get that safe. So check it out. All right, let's check the markets now, because we had some, I mean, overnight, the stock market, it's getting a little too hot. We're going to look at what's happening with Bitcoin this morning. We're also going to be looking at the altcoins that I'm buying and bullish on right now. But the stock market is a little bit, there are a growing number of signs that this bull market in equities is overheating, with indicators of investor complacence right now. They're seeking, like, this is like reaching the highest level since 2007 and 1999. So what happened in those years? Anybody remember? 2007 and 1999, what happened when all this investor complacency was happening? We had a big correction, didn't we? I mean, those periods had extreme euphoria. Everyone's excited about it. But then we had these market crashes that happened right after that. So what's happening is that as of late February, investors already had jumped in with a record $814 billion borrowed against their portfolios. Now, this data this morning comes from the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority data that They're borrowed against their portfolios. It's a 49% year-over-year increase. That's the largest since 2007. And the prior high was during the dot-com bubble in 1999. And that's according to the Wall Street Journal. I saw a couple of other high-profile traders saying over the past few days, you know, this is starting to remind me of right before the dot-com bubble and when the bottom fell out. So professional money managers already have started selling. Professional money managers have already started selling. I'm talking stocks. But then not everyone is feeling this way. Jamie Dimon yesterday, JP Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon says, I'm taking the other side of this bet. He sent a letter to shareholders yesterday arguing that he sees there's lots of consumer savings. A lot of people have money in the bank because of stimulus and other reasons. They're not out spending money at movie theaters and stuff. They've got it saved. That could lead to a boom. We're also getting great vaccine distribution. And this proposed infrastructure plan, he says, could lead to a, quote, Goldilocks moment for the market, where we would have sustained growth through 2024. And the inflation would come down. What do you think? Where do you want to be on the side of this? Side of being smart and cautious? Or where Jamie Dimon is at, saying he sees an economic boom coming? All right for some. But I'm bullish on crypto as people move away. And, you know, as we're seeing these inflationary concerns right now, as people are, you know, this inflation and people are looking to gold and other alternative asset classes right now to move their money for safe havens right now. So let's look at Bitcoin this morning. Here's the Bitcoin, 56,000. That's a little up now, right now 57 before I hit this video here. So 57,000 going back up this morning. So the reason right now Bitcoin is so important for us to pay attention to, because we have this like possible bullish divergence happening, and altcoins, all other coins could really take a hit if Bitcoin explodes. So all of these smaller coins get hurt when Bitcoin has dominance. Okay. But if we see it go down, if we see Bitcoin going down and it hits that like 40,000, 45,000, then altcoins are going to explode. So today is a very, very, very important day for Bitcoin. Today is a very important day for Bitcoin. So we're going to be keeping our eye closely on this. I mean, it's up even pre-show here. It was a 56. It's a 57,000 right now. Let me just show you this chart. This is Bitcoin over the past, this was over the past day. This is a 1 day Bitcoin chart here. So I'm sorry, not a 1 day Bitcoin chart. This is the past month. And you can see where C could end up. We could wind up down here in the 40,000 range if this pattern continues. This is a numbered phase, a motive numbered phase that's happening. And as my friend Cody had sent this to me last night, he said, you know, we got to watch out for this wave C here. This is the problem. So if that happens, then altcoins are going to explode and Bitcoin will drop down into the 40s for a while. And it'll come back, you know. But what happens to your portfolio if it's down? That's where we have problems, right? So what happens with these corrections right now, these retests? I mean, if you're seeing Bitcoin at this hour, it seems like it's tricking back up again. And so it might be breaking out of this phase. So this concern about sliding down into this territory could be premature. And as experts say, look, if this breaks out, if this C pattern does not happen, then everything that happened before this pattern is moot. Okay. You can throw this entire pattern out the window, because now it's eliminated this pattern. It's moving into new territory. And it's all about patterns. But what's interesting is that Bitcoin has been hitting this sort of psychological barrier at the top, around 60,000. And it really hasn't moved much beyond that up here, like in that 60 range. So if this breaks through, that's where we, you know, Bitcoin bulls have been seeing like a $70,000, $75,000 range for growth. So we could see this pattern emerge. So today is the day, folks. I really think today or the next 24 hours, Bitcoin is going to make an important move. One of these patterns is going to emerge. like a duck beak here. You know, what's the pattern that's going to emerge? So I'm going to be watching that very closely, and I'll have a full update on it for you tomorrow. But if you follow me over on Public, by the way, if you go to morninginvest.com/public, I've got I've been posting trades and things over there. Plus, you get free stock when you sign up at morninginvest.com/public. Just for following me, it's a really cool social media and trading app. But I do want to tell you about an altcoin that I bought last night. So I bought an altcoin last night called One Inch. And here's what I bought it for. I bought it for 5.75, okay? And just this morning, it's already up. So let's take a look. This is One Inch USDT. One Inch USDT. This is an altcoin. So let me show you where I bought it. And I use Binance to do it. So I bought it in this range right around here, okay? And it's already up over 6 today. So some nice profits overnight. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how I set a stop loss so that I will be able to lock in the profits that I made on this coin yesterday and protect myself against further, like, any kind of losses. So now it's already been profitable since I bought into it. So I bought into it right around here. Okay. I can never figure these graphs out. So I apologize. So right there, that's like right where I bought it. Okay. And now it's up in the green, up at 6.2. So now I want to lock in some profits because it's gone up. So let me show you how to do this. Go down here at the bottom. I'll hit stop limit right here. So I hit the stop limit button right there. Okay. And then I'm going to go over here to sell. Now, what I want to do is I want to set a stop and a limit point. So I'm going to pick a little bit below this like dip. So I'm still locking in my profits. I'm going to put in here 5.916, right in this range here. Okay. 5.9516. Okay. And then I'm going to also put in here a little bit below that. So what'll happen, it'll stop at the 5.95, and then I'm going to make sure that it triggers it down at 5.99900. So it's like basically two levers, one to stop it, one to sell. And I'm going to sell all of it. Okay. And I slide my lever over, and I'm going to sell all of it. And now that sets a stop loss. So basically, I made profits. If it drops down to this little range here, I'll have a nice little bit of profit. But I want to monitor this because as it continues up, I might want to delete this stop loss and move it up again, move it even higher. And you just kind of keep going up this ladder and you continue to lock in profits. The reason we set a stop loss is so we protect ourselves against losses, right? So that's how it works. And you can see this chart is this one inch is continuing to rise. And I'm going to hit sell. So now that I've locked it in, I'm going to hit sell. Remember, this is not actually selling it. But see that it's set an alert now. So if it does drop to that point, it'll sell. And I'll have made profit. So there's my stop loss on one inch. So that's an altcoin that I'm bullish about. I'm keeping my eyes on nice profits on that one. But again, all eyes on what happens with Bitcoin over the next 24 hours and where this thing moves. Again, Bitcoin right now trading this morning. It's up 1% already this morning. 57,313. And it's interesting to watch some of these other altcoins like Aave and Dot are also up. So it's strange, man. It's really strange. But we could be seeing like this weird bullish moment for Bitcoin. This could be the moment it breaks through. And it's pretty interesting to watch all of this.
Natalie Chavez is wondering, what application is that you're using?
That's Binance. So I am I'm a Binance user. Here's Binance. To sign up for Binance, it's morninginvest.com/Binance. There's two different versions of it. The link that I created so you get the right version of it is the one you want. So it's morninginvest.com/Binance is the correct one. And this is what the website looks like. And that's where you can sell all these other coins. You can download it on iOS. They have a really nice desktop app as well. So that's what I use, Binance.
Hashim is saying KuCoin is another great site that has some of the same coins as Binance without needing the VPN. Been using them since 2017, no issues.
Yeah, KuCoin is also great. I, you know, I think it makes sense, Hashim, to have, I use KuCoin, it to have multiple exchanges. So let me give you this little back and forth here. And anyone who has a super chat question about this, please drop them in here. But I use Coinbase to get my money into the system. And again, a friend of the show, Cody, who watches regularly, you know, I said, the hardest thing for me was getting money into the system. Because, okay, how do I get my US dollars into crypto and into these exchanges? And so what I've done is I've taken my money from my bank account into Coinbase. And from Coinbase, I buy or I transfer it into USDC. So it's a one-for-one exchange from a US dollar into a digital version of that currency, basically, for no fee. Because if you buy Bitcoin in Coinbase, you're going to pay a nice, huge fee. Actually, Coinbase is expensive. So no fees to buy into USDC. And then I just transfer the USDC into one of my exchanges, Binance or KuCoin. And that's how I do it. Then I end up buying it with... from there, and you can convert from BTC, from Bitcoin, over back and forth. But remember, when you're signing up for these sites, they're going to want verification that you're a real human being. Okay, so you're going to have to hold up your driver's license and like take a photo of yourself holding your driver's license. You're going to have to verify your bank account information. Like, they don't want fraud. I mean, and because of digital currencies, there's a lot of problems. So they want to make sure that they are who you say you are.
Are we ready to go into super chats and stuff? Or
yeah, let's dive in.
Robert Slavin, Governor Newsom supposed to open California June 15th. June, holy cow.
Yeah.
That's June quite a ways 15th. Off.
Well, I mean, look at what's going on in Texas. I mean, heck, Texas had their whole... like at the Texas Rangers game, up 38,000 people showed up to that game. So we'll see, like, what happens in Texas. Are we gonna see a huge spike down there? It doesn't, like, Dr. Fauci's like, I don't understand it. He's like, we're not seeing a huge spike. Okay.
Brandon Lee Rivera, I'd like to give Republicans and moderate Democrats a moderate foot up where the sun doesn't shine. What good are they to America?
Well, they're not. They're good for themselves, you know.
Lisa Pettit. They're
good for their own corporate interests.
Clayton, why don't other members within the Democratic Party put pressure on Joe Manchin? He's a stain on the party.
Well, I think they are. I mean, we've seen certainly AOC putting pressure on him. We've seen some other, I think we saw Ilhan Omar trying to put pressure on him. But he's a very powerful senator. So there's only so much power you can really exert. But Joe Manchin in his home state of West Virginia, his popularity has declined significantly. So if he wants his name on bridges in West Virginia, he better step up.
Jody Heronley, Michelle Simmons, Belinda Edwards, and Deborah Crosby, new members. Welcome. Larry Neves, I worked for Safe Light Auto Glass in Orlando for 7 years. We tried to start a union. Management stopped that right away with saying they would fire you if you try that.
Wow.
You know, it's crazy, too. Yeah. I don't know if you ever heard the story, but, you know, the Young Turks is always going on and on about their pro-union and everything. But I guess the folks at Young Turks tried to unionize, and Cenk got so mad that he threw papers down telling him that they couldn't do that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the truth hurts, huh?
Yep. Said there's no way they would have been where they are now with what they would have had to pay if people would unionize. Yet on the show, they're just completely pro-union. So I find it kind of funny.
Totally fake. Yeah.
Laura Kent, Clayton, yesterday I created my account on Weibo. However, I'm not really stock oriented, I guess you'd say. Is there somewhere you can show us how to use Weibo? I don't know if she means Weeble or is there one called Weibo?
I think Weeble, yeah. Okay. I don't know about that. I think she means Weeble. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
Hopefully you signed up for the right site. I don't know what Weibo is, Weibo sounds like a pool gaming site or something like that.
Yeah, I thought it sounded more like one of those robots that you can buy, those little like tiny house robots.
Yeah,
I just bought one of those Weibos.
So what I was thinking about doing on one of these weekend shows is I'd be happy to do like a weekend members show where we do trading, and I just kind of go through and give you like a 101 of how to get started with trading. How many of you guys would be into that? Let me know in the chat. Just give me a thumbs up or just let me know.
Hope Britton and Jennifer Ruth, new members. Crystal Dragon. Oh, and I'm proud to announce my brother bought a house with land, 6 acres. He had to have 7,000 down between two of them. So why is land different? He said land had to have 20% down, but house was 7%.
Land is seen as a riskier investment. Think about this. If you have a house that you live in, okay, and you want to buy land, raw land in Texas, like I have a lot of friends who like will buy raw land just to go hunting on it. Like, you know, they'll buy tons of acres in West Texas or other places and they'll just use it for pheasant hunting, right? And or they'll put a tiny house on it or something like that. But anyway, raw land, the reason it's riskier is because what happens if you lose your job, right? If you can't, you're going to end up taking care of the house you live in first. That's why second home or investment home equity lines of credit on investment properties are riskier for the banks, because you're going to take care of the house you live in. You're going to make sure that you don't lose the house you live in first. That piece of land that you bought for pheasant hunting, you can't pay the taxes on it suddenly, or you can't pay the mortgage on it. You're gonna be like, oh, forget it. I don't need that land, you know, if things go bad for you. So that's why raw land is a riskier investment. It always is. That's just the way the banks look at it.
Natalie Brandon, I'm thinking about investing with Weibull, but I know nothing about stocks. Can I learn from Weibull?
They've got some tutorials on there. Yeah, if you go to morninginvest.com/Weibull and get your free stocks. By the way, if you go there, you get 2 free stocks to that link when you sign up. And they've got video tutorials on there to show you how to use the different charts and things like that. And just start simple. You know, that's my advice, is just start simple. Don't go crazy and just take it slowly. But this is Weibull. You get 2 free stocks just for signing up. Go to morninginvest.com/Weibull. And it's very, very simple. They've got a bunch of different video tutorials on there to show you the different way to trade and get started. So, yeah.
Kim Hawkins, new member. Outstanding entertainment. WrestleMania is this weekend with a live audience. I like to see how this turns out.
Yeah. Get a lot of people in a closed WrestleMania, sometimes they do it outdoors. Is it in a closed arena this time? And all these sweaty people in there, right up on each other.
Nightmare K-Hawk, why doesn't Morris ever talk about buying silver? He's so disrespectful to that metal.
I never talk about buying.
Why do you disrespect silver so much, Morris?
Why do you never talk about buying silver? I think, you know, I'm bullish on precious metals. I'm bullish on copper, silver, and gold. We have a copper shortage right now. So when you think of like copper, you're like, yeah, copper's always the third, right? It's like the third in the list, right? But copper may be a really, really smart play right now. Do some research on copper. It's there's a lot of upside there.
I have a safe completely full of Ron Paul copper coins.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Copper. Yeah, I mean, it's the price has gone through the roof. So
I bought them back in 2012.
That's why in a video I featured a few weeks ago had a company that's building gold and copper infrastructure in Canada. And I'm bullish on that company because of that very reason, because of copper shortages as well as gold shortages.
Brandon, new member. And then we got Natalie Brandon again. Thank you. And yes, a weekend show would be great.
So any other super chats to get to?
Nope, that's it. We're done.
Good. Thank you, everyone. Thank you on this Thursday. Again, keep your eye on Bitcoin today. It's even up $100 since I last spoke about it. 57,428.
Clayton Morris, how long were you on TV? Huh?
How long was I on TV?
Yeah, how long were you? Do you know, as long as you've been in this business, spoked is not a word.
Did I say spoked?
Yes.
Did I really?
Yeah. When I spoked about it earlier, you said.
Spoked about it. I yell at my wife. My wife's an excellent writer. If you ever read our newsletter, Natalie does the bulk of the writing on our newsletter. She's excellent. Newspaper reporter, excellent writer. But she'll often say, I broughten that. Broughten? Like, what is that? And then my kids started saying it. I'm like, that's not a word, broughten. Or I went, no, I already swum today. Swum. Spoked in, what did I say?
Spoked. I spoked about earlier.
Spoked. Stock I spoke about. My wife just texted me. She says, no, I don't say that. I say brang. Oh, she says, I say brang that back. I brang that back to the store. Brang it back? What is that? That's not even a word.
I was doing something the other day talking about diving, and I couldn't think of the past tense of dive. I was like, dove? Doven? Dove? What? I dived into the pool.
The other day I was outside, I saw a whole bunch of Mises there running around. Saw a whole bunch of Goosens.
Although I probably should look that up because watch, it's going to be like that. You ever see Conan O'Brien with Jennifer Garner where they were arguing about, I think it was Jennifer Garner, arguing about a word. And she's like, Conan, I'm from Harvard, went to Harvard. That's not a word. And he looked it up and sure enough, it was in the dictionary.
Wait, Conan went to Harvard.
Did he?
That's a funny thing.
That's funny.
Yeah. He wrote for their funny newspaper that was like a precursor to writing for Saturday Night Live. The Harvard, forget the name of it, but
Crimson or something like that.
Anyway, it was their funny satirical paper that's sort of like well known as like a launching pad for to be a writer for like, you know, the Tonight Show, a writer for Saturday Night Live, a writer for the Late Show with David Letterman, like
Mad
a lot
Magazine
of those alumni. Might have been the Harvard Crimson, but I don't know. That sounds like their main newspaper, though.
Yeah, I think it was. Natalie Chavez says, I say drinking that drink. I know it's not a word, but...
drinking that drink. Oh, it's the Harvard Lampoon.
Oh. Is that Harvard Lampoon? Is that where National Lampoon, like National Lampoon comes from, the movie company?
I don't know. But it was founded in 1876. There's a lot of funny, you know, a lot of people you would probably recognize. Conan O'Brien being one of them, of course. Anyway, that's going to do it for today's show.
We just got a couple more super chats. I think I brought you a... Kathy Leroy and Brandon. Okay. Brandon wants to know, what is the mastermind stream? Did you say something about a mastermind stream?
No, I just said if you become a channel member, I think what I'm going to do is an investing only channel members stream this weekend for anyone that's interested in learning a little bit more about crypto trading, how to do it, some of the apps that I use, things like that. Just sort of an entry level 101, no stress. You can bring your questions kind of a stream if you're game for that. Brandon.
And that's how you access right there on the screen, morninginvest.com/join. Become a member.
Yeah.
All right, that's it.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. I think we brought it today. We brang you a good show, I think. Hopefully we brang you some value. If we brang you any value today, please subscribe. Smash that like button. Man, all these altcoins are up across the board right now. Something's crazy is going on. Bitcoin is up. These altcoins are up. All right. I'll be watching it later today. Much love to all of you, and we will see you back here mañana. Be safe. Peace.